Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18 plus in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointsTC.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Crime journalist Paul Williams has a brand new book out now. It's called Crooks 2, and it's a sequel to his previous bestseller, Crooks. But Crooks 2 chronicles some of Paul's most notorious exposés. Paul, good morning.
Good morning, Pat. Good to see you, my friend.
Now, what an extraordinary book. This is a follow-up, really, but there's so much in it. What a life you've had.
Well, yeah, I suppose, well, that's it. That's the second one. I don't think there's a third one in there just to, before we readers get afraid. When I did Crooks last year, I didn't know where I was going with that. And it was sort of like my publisher said, why don't you write a story about what is personally like experiencing the things you've experienced and the stories you went through and the death threats and all the years and years of police protection, all that kind of stuff. But then it went really, really well. The public loved it. And then there were so many stories left over. And so I put them together in a second tome. And some of them are, when you sit back, you say, God, did we live through all of that?
Did we live through all of that?
And I did all the interviews with you through the years at the back of all of these.
I get a few honourable mentions throughout the book, which is good. Exposing the church's dirty secrets. Now, when we look back on that saga, because my recollection being in Galway at the time of the Pope's visit to Galway, doing the commentary for television, and I remember saying one thing, if the youth of Ireland are looking for license from this man, the Pope, they're not going to get it.
That's right.
That was my interpretation. But the two warm-up acts.
Father Michael Cleary and Bishop Eamon Casey. And that was one of the most iconic pieces of TV ever shown, because the two gentlemen who were two of the most famous clerics in Ireland were also both fathers to children. Michael Cleary had two sons.
I mean, what was extraordinary was the public hypocrisy of these men.
Yeah. And for me, this journey, to telling the story of Father Michael Cleary, it was the first big story I ever covered. Started on New Year's Eve, 1993. I explain in the book my own position in relation to Catholic Ireland as a young person growing up at that time. And I was still in my 20s, you know, and how our generation, we navigated a way around all these precepts and been told how to live. So I had a certain attitude to the Catholic Church. But also, why it was a confluence of happy events, that was the same day that Anne found out she was pregnant with our second child, Irina. And as I say in the book, by the time Irina reached her first birthday, this story about Michael Cleary had nothing to do with me. I didn't have no interest in the man at all, except that he was a boot boy for the church. And then by the time my daughter hit her first birthday, I was writing the memoir of his secret lover and wife and mother of his two sons. It was an extraordinary story.
It was an extraordinary story, and you say the story still goes on. But there's so many stories in this. For example, tracking down the Pimpernel of international organised crime. This is a UK hood who was living quite openly here and was, in fact, Mr. Big.
He was literally the biggest in the world at the time. The DEA on his case, the FBI, he had Interpol, he had the French, the Dutch, the Spanish, the British, and as we later found out, the Irish law enforcement community on his case. And he was living quietly. And how it all came to light was one night coming home from Renard's, or one of the nightclubs in town, he smashed his Bentley car into an innocent taxi driver who was crossing a bridge at the Quays in Dublin. And as a result of that, an inquest came about, and all anyone knew about this guy was that there was something that big about him. Nobody could put their finger on it, particularly the guards. And the reason being, and this is what I tell in the story in the book, his name was Mickey Green. The Irish police, for reasons best known to themselves at the time, and probably for good intentions, kept it a secret that he was here, kept it a secret from their own people that he was here. So when this guy kills an innocent taxi driver, the first people to really know what had happened was Scotland Yard, and the rest of the guards were left in the dark. But this man and his family were left penniless. So a guard tipped me off and said, look, there's something weird about this guy. This guy's a multimillionaire, some kind of big businessman from the UK. There's a lot of fellas' noses out of joint. He should have been properly done. He should have been convicted of dangerous driving causing death. He wasn't. He doesn't want to pay any compensation. So I went to this inquest. And as a result of going to this inquest, I saw six or seven heavies in the coroner's court. And then this big, big, big man who seemed to be coordinating everything, who later became the biggest supergrass in the history of criminal justice. And he was working for Mickey Green. Nobody in the world knew any about this stuff. So some guard said to me at the thing, there's something really heavy about this. You have to look at this.
Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2 times the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18 plus in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8-6-25 and 1-5-26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointstc.
Lowe's sabe que a todos nos gusta ahorrar, especialmente en esta temporada. Por eso escogimos deals buenísimos para Early Black Friday. Obtén gratis una herramienta selecta de DeWalt, Cobalt o Craftsman al comprar una batería o un kit selecto. También tenemos árboles de Navidad preiluminados selectos desde $59.98, porque nunca es muy pronto para poner el arbolito. Lowe's, nosotros ayudamos, tú ahorras. Hasta agotar existencia, selección varía por lugar.
And from that, then I started to build this picture. This guy was not just any ordinary gangster. He was living out he had incredible luxury, but he was one of the big, he was the most wanted man at that time in international terms. When I ran the story, the guards at the time issued a fatwa against me, whereby certain very respected colleagues of mine wrote in their newspapers senior Gardaí were infuriated by this incredibly exaggerated, false and libelous story that had been written about this man being one of the biggest in the world. And he did turn out to be one of the biggest in the world.
One of the things about your book is that things were going on and things are going on that we know nothing about. And you're in there ferreting away with the help and approval of editors who gave you a little bit of rope.
Oh, I worked for, most of the drama and action pertains to the Sunday World and then later the News World for a short while. But I worked with some brilliant people in the Sunday World and we were doing things that would put the hair standing on an editor's head today. And this, we were doing this 30 years ago, we were doing it 20 years ago. And that was Colin McGinty, who was the editor. I know you know Colin McGinty. And Michael Brophy was the managing director. He came into the Sunday World at a time when it needed to be resurrected. And he came in, and I remember when we got the Michael Cleary story, a good friend, he tipped me off and he said, look, this woman wants to tell her story. But when I got the details after signing a non-disclosure agreement with her lawyer, Phyllis Hamilton's lawyer, and I went back to the office, the one big concern I had when I sat down with Michael Brophy and Conor McGinty, I was working for them about a year at this stage, and I said, look, lads, I know how this thing works. There's going to be a lot of pushback against us ever writing this story. And Brophy said to me, leave it to me. We'll deal with that.
Extraordinary stuff. Now, you cover so many stories. I mean, The Accidental Hero and The Terror of Murder, Inc. We're talking about Limerick. We're talking about Stephen Collins.
Stephen Collins, yeah. And that's one of the things about this book, is to talk about and acknowledge the people who I met in my career, but the people whose stories, like we're just conduits. That's all we do as journalists. We tell their stories, project them to the world. And in all my time, and I've met many, many heroes, wonderful people who trusted me and my colleagues to tell their stories, but never in my life have I met somebody like Steve Collins, and he's a very, very close friend to this day. In fact, I reveal quite a lot of stuff in that, purely only with his permission, by the way, of what really happened behind the scenes to him and his family that nobody knows about.
Now, he was one of the great good guys. One of the really bad guys was the guy you describe as Ganglang's Jimmy Savile. Who was that?
Stephen Rossi Walsh. Notorious fraudster, extortionist, arm robber, who once in an interview with the Sunday World when he came out of prison the first time said, I was like Jesse James, I was the real bandit, I was the big guy. Martin Cahill, who he used to run with, was nothing but a muppet. And he was very well known as a major villain. He got caught in a pub in 1992, he went to blow it up and accidentally blew himself up and miraculously survived. And he was one of the most wanted men in Gangland at the time. And he used and played ducks and drakes with he was a barrack room lawyer, played ducks and drakes with the law all the time, used the legal system to have himself, his cases statute barred so that armed robbery cases were dropped against him. So he gets caught, he gets 15 years. It was incredible break for the police and he's caught. But it subsequently turned out that when he came out of prison, a young lady who we all nearly become get to know very well as Ruth Dunn, very brave, another one of those wonderful, wonderful people I had the honour to meet in my life. And she was this, when she was a child, she'd been raped by this monster. And she knew the monster he was, and nobody around him knew, and he had access. He was the Robin Hood figure of Pierce Street, right, where he grew up. So everybody looked up to him. Everybody feared him. He ran little parties for the kids and the community. So he had unfettered access to children. And Ruth Dunn was the first one that came out. And then we sat with her. I wrote her story. It took a long time. Make a long story short, we identified in the course of that investigation, with, again, the help of my editor and Kieran Kelly, our lawyer. And it was very much just like you see on the TV without any of the glamour. We pieced it together bit by bit. We found another victim who had reported him some years earlier while he was in prison for the blowing up the pub. And she was related to extended family. And because she had no witness, the DPP didn't proceed with it. We had her testimony. But then another young woman came forward who knew Ruth and had heard of what happened and saw him with children. And she came forward, she talked to us, then she went to the police. So we built a picture and we were able to name him. And he ended up getting the guts of 20 years. He only got out of prison last year.
Now, the crime of the century, people would be thinking the heist in the Louvre or whatever they might think of, the crime of the century. But what was, as you describe it, the crime of the century?
That was what we called in the Irish Independent the Anglo Tapes investigation. And I got my hands on these tapes, which were, you know, I remember the first listening to the very first tape, and there was a lot of cloak and dagger, obviously, and there's a lot of secrecy still around it. But I was given this tape, it was about 10 minutes long, maybe. And there's these two guys talking about going down to Central Bank in September 2008, when the country was about to explode, and the bank guarantee, which cost us, the listeners to this show, and you and I, 60 billion. But Anglo-Irish Bank, where the tapes came from, cost us 30 billion euros. And to make a long story short, the very first tape revealed that the senior executives in Anglo-Irish Bank went down to the central bank, the legislators, the state's bank, and said, we need 7 billion. And a conversation is held on this tape. He said, where did you get the 7 billion figure? And this guy says, well, as David Drum, the CEO of the bank, would say, I took it out of my arse. And that term, that line has resonated with the Irish public for 11 years, 12 years, and drove the public mad. And basically from that, we were able to prove and ascertain that, you know, this crime of the century, they were bluffing. And one of the famous lines, if you remember, Pat, and a lot of people listening to this will remember this, is them saying, this guy saying, you know, we had to give them a figure big enough, which was 7 billion, to get their attention, but not too big that they get scared of it and wouldn't commit the taxpayer. And the other guy on the other side of the line says, yeah, we'd have skin in the game and it can creep up after that. And did it creep up? It creeped up to 30 billion euros.
Now, it's an extraordinary book. It tells us a little bit about you, though. I didn't know you had been an army reservist.
Yeah, I was. For my sins, way back in the day, I was 20 years, actually, and 15 years active and 20 years on the books. And I tell the story in the book against myself was that when I was doing all of that, that I ended up inadvertently training a guy who turned up in London as part of an IRA active service union and were blowing the absolute bejesus out of London. The IRA at the time had blown up Canary Wharf, they'd blown up this Manchester City Centre, and this guy who I had trained in the FCA and recommended him for best soldier and taught him how to use an FN rifle.
The book is terrific. It's called Crooks 2, More Stories Behind the Headlines, written by Paul Williams, published by Alan Unwin. Paul, thank you very much for joining
us. Thank you, Pat.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Lowe's sabe que a todos nos gusta ahorrar, especialmente en esta temporada. Por eso escogimos deals buenísimos para Early Black Friday. Obtén gratis una herramienta selecta DeWalt, Cobalt o Craftsman al comprar una batería o un kit selecto. También tenemos árboles de Navidad preiluminados selectos desde $59.98, porque nunca es muy pronto para poner el arbolito. Lowe's, nosotros ayudamos, tú ahorras. Hasta agotar existencia, selección varía por lugar.